Welcome, coaches and fellow Split Talkers. Thanks for joining us again. We are back for Talking Split 4. I can't even remember which episode we're up to now. It's been a while. We've actually five's tomorrow, I'm sure of it. But I appreciate your input all the same, Jared. We are back for episode 6 of Talking Split. I'm Rob Calder, the Coach Development Officer at Basketball Victoria. With me, I have the high-performance coach for the Metro Women. She was looking a little ginger this morning, so it might have been an interesting session on court. Jenny Screen, welcome.
Thank you.
And we have a little bit of a late sub in, it'd be fair to say. We were supposed to have Nathan Cooper Brown on the podcast this week. However,
left us hung, dried out.
Coop's spent a lot of time with Justin Shuler over the last couple of years. And if Justin has taught us anything other than the laugh is always fantastic fun, it is that you don't always turn up for podcast recordings. And Coops has pulled the same stunt. And so consequently, we have the very late inclusion of Zoe Carr, the high-performance coach for the Country Women. Thanks for jumping in, Zoe.
Well done, Zoe. Thanks, guys. Way to step up to the plate. Team effort.
I don't want to say it'll be better or worse, but we'll see how this plays 100% out all the time.
It will be better.
Oh, six man, that was my whole career. So.
You're doing better than me. I was a long way past six. Again, if you've managed to find us, you've managed to do it via the usual platforms on Podcast World. Social media, iTunes, Spotify, all those kinds of things. If you can reach out using the hashtag TalkingSplit if you want to continue a conversation. Obviously, the emails here at Basketball Victoria you can get us on as well have been blown up over the last couple of weeks with people emailing in, wanting to get to SDP sessions around the state, talk about all things high performance. We've got a mailbag segment next week. So there's a whole heap of people that jumped in with questions that we'll take care of next week. So we'll do a whole mailbag segment. Again, though, if you can, please like, share, retweet, rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. That would be fantastic. We would really appreciate any interaction because the Twitter handles of the two people in the room with me are...
Jenny's at Jenny Screen.
Very good. And...
at Zoe Carr 85.
Marked improvement from the last 2 weeks where you fumbled over that and we had to edit out a lot of dead air time.
Written on my little piece of paper here.
You can get me at Rob Coulter if you need it. A couple of housekeeping things to start off with. FIBA Oceania Women in Coaching Clinic, April 10th, up in Belconnen Basketball Stadium. 10 to 12, Laurie Chiswick, Katrina Hibbert, and Kristen Veal taking that coaching clinic.
Get so amongst it.
Huge opportunity for coaches to go and learn from some of the best coaches we have in Australia. BA Coaches Conference registrations are open. Early bird special. Get in now because it is obviously much cheaper. Again, a couple of additional presenters announced during the week. We have had Patrick Hunt jump in, and I mean, people will know Patrick from everywhere. Like, I can't even say he's just a FIBA guy or he's just a FIBA BA guy or anything like that. He's from everywhere.
Godfather.
So, the godfather of basketball and done a lot for basketball in this country. So very lucky to have him presenting again, as he does every year. And we have also got Professor Donna O'Connor to join the conference, who's the Associate Professor of Coach Education at Sydney University.
I'd pay to listen to both of them, but Donna's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Very,
so,
very good.
You have heard the endorsement from Jenny Screen, and that is worth its weight in gold. So if you get that, you know it is worth presenting at and turning up for. So badge of honour, get in early, get in now, whilst it is cheaper than what it potentially will be later.
Yes.
Good for everyone. Big weekend just played out. We are a couple of weeks removed from it now, but... Under 16 state combine kicked off last weekend. So this is where we, for those of you that are unaware, this is where we pick our under 16 state teams to go to the AJCs, which are in, I want to say, Warwick in July.
WA.
How'd that all play out?
Big day.
Yeah.
Very big day. So we had for country the last 30 of each boys and girls split into three teams and played games against the last, did you have
24.
Their three teams as well, so played games against them so we could see them in real gameplay in like-for-like games. So a lot of the time when you're coming into a trial or any type of thing like that, you try and find practice games and it's often against people older or senior teams and you don't really get to see where the kids are at the level. So having games that actually mean something in the same age group was really helpful for selection. A lot of good kids missed out, and it's a blessing and a curse. You know, like it's we sit here and I think it's really appropriate that we're covering this topic today because coaches, I know the coaches that I was dealing with had to leave out some kids and it hurt them. It hurt them to leave those kids out because they work hard, they're skilled, all those sort of things. But there's kids that are better and or kids that are are fitting what's needed with the athletes that are around them and
at this point in time.
At this point in time, exactly. So it's really good that we've got that competition, but it does make it difficult to make those selections at times.
What was the process like of announcing the teams? I know this is probably the hardest thing to get right. It's everywhere you're going to disappoint someone, you're going to elate some kids. And I always used to tell the parents, prepare your child for three scenarios: in the team, emergency, out of the team. That's really hard to do for a lot of them. How did you guys go announcing the selections?
Look, well, this is my first rodeo in terms of this process, and I take my hat off to the way it ran and whoever. Did you come up with this puppy? Was this one of yours?
I think I stole it from someone else.
Okay. Well, I liked
Don't
it.
Be ridiculous.
So take it and run with it if this was your fine. Puppy. But I thought it was brilliant. It was awful in terms of that last component, but I was trying to reflect on when I was younger. I don't know about you, Zoe, but I'm thinking, how did we find out? I honestly can't remember. Whether it's a letter to our parents back in the day, I don't remember being told up front, but I think ripping off the Band-Aid really quickly and informing the parents first up so they can be prepared, and then going into the change room and telling the kids, I don't think of a better way. Regardless of, you can't please everyone. Some people are going to want an email, but then it's going to be interpreted differently. And I think when you hear it from the head coaches to the parents, and they realize that they're human and this is difficult for them too, there is empathy there, that they realize this is a process. And for me, I actually, as I stood back, got quite emotional. I'm pathetic. being Piscean doesn't help. I'm a water sign. But it just, for me, seeing the parents' reactions and then also when you go into the change room and you share the names with the kids, and not just the ones that miss out, because they're trying to be brave and not cry in front of everyone, and I get that, and here's me in the background like sobbing into the hiding into the cubicle of the toilet because I don't want to be seen. But then you look at the kids also that do hear their name, and they almost go into a little bit of fear as well. They're excited, but at the same breath, they're like, oh my goodness, I don't know if I belong. And I don't know if that's a female thing as well, or now here we go, I've got to start again. But there's almost this I'm not good enough kind of thing, rather than, yeah, I earned my spot. So it was really interesting to see, but credit to Basketball Victoria and the coaches involved. I thought it was exemplary the way it was run.
They did a great job, and that's a really hard spot for a coach to be in. I don't know, I always used to fumble with it. You start reading out the list of names and you start to get a little bit scratchy on the voice wavers a little bit as well, and it's like, geez, I'm leaving out some great kids to pick this team. And it's so hard. There is no great way to do it, and it's going to hurt some kids along the way, but it is potentially just the first roadblock. And it's just a roadblock. That's all it is. There's another way around it.
It's not even that. Like, honestly, we want to make state teams. It's an absolute goal of most kids is to make the state team. But it's not the be-all and end-all. It's a great achievement. I don't want to take it away from the kids that have made it and the kids that get to go, but it is not the be-all and end-all. We rattle off people in here all the time that didn't make state teams or didn't make the 16 state teams at least. You know, I think we did some stats 1 year, and it was about 60% of kids that make it in 16s don't actually make it in the under-18s team, because the late bloomers or the long-term development kids start to get it together and they start to take those spots. So I think what I really like about the way that it's delivered is it's teaching a couple of things. It's teaching having to take this news and get it. It's confronting. When you miss out, it's confronting. And Or if you become an emergency and you really wanted to make the team, it's learning how to take that face-to-face feedback of you didn't quite make it and how to react and behave. On the flip side of that, how to react and behave when you have made it, but you're sitting in a room with people that didn't. So how to be humble, still be proud of your achievement, but also don't rub it in the faces of the kids that are disappointed and have missed out. So it's hard. As Jenny said, it's so hard. I didn't cry. Maybe there's something wrong with me.
Bitch.
Not a Piscean.
Not a Piscean. Oh, well, I'm an Aquarius. Isn't that a water sign too?
No, just before. Actually, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe just a bitch. But but it, so it is. It's hard. It's hard for the coaching staff. And I think all coaches, from what I've heard, did a great job in delivering that and delivering the feedback in a really quick amount of time to the kids after the, you know, in the next couple of days. So.
Yeah, and I think if you're Kennedy Kariyama, you know, pop out a child, well, not him, his wife, shout out to Chelsea, who gave birth to their first firstborn 2 days before, and then he rocks up to a combine. I'm not sure how that marriage is going to end up.
That's an amazing
getting to choose basketball. You know, I think there's a little bit of empathy from the parents there. Go, wow. Yeah. He had a child 24 hours ago, and he's here either selecting or not selecting my child. He's invested in this program, as are all the other coaches.
Tough spot for a lot of the emergencies to be in. It's almost easy to miss out sometimes because then it is the Band-Aid, it's right off. Whereas the emergencies, you're always there and you try and be up and about and you try and be happy, but sometimes it can get to you as well. And that leads into our topic today, not the star signs of the rich and famous and, you know, what does my star sign tell me?
Jenny from the block. Yeah. But I haven't left the block.
What we are talking about today is taking care of yourself as a coach. We just spoke about this. We want to try and make this as easy a process for the athletes to hear it and get through it and move on. But in a lot of that, we lose sight of ourselves as coaches. And we hear a lot now, and we do a lot of work in the mental health space with our players, but who's looking after the coaches? And that's where we want to try and get to today is that we touched on it last week during the podcast in that we spoke about it, glossed over it and said we get back to it this week. But it is something that's really valuable for coaches because we don't have enough, and we're certainly not in the position to be able to lose coaches, especially our better coaches, through things that we can potentially control if we're just aware of them or if we get on top of them easier. And this, unfortunately, is going to be a bit of a preachy type podcast in a lot of ways because there are a lot of things that we should change. And I will 100% lay this on now. This will be me being the most hypocritical version of Rob you'll ever hear because there is a lot of stuff in here that I haven't done and should be doing and am not doing. So take it with a grain of salt. When I sit there and say you need to take care of your nutrition, remember, podcast, you can't see me. If you see me in real life, not necessarily the same thing. So just be mindful of that as we go. We are doing this as a way of helping people communicate because it is a way of, if we highlight it, hopefully that is something that can at least help another coach down the line. Similar to last week, we'll try and get a little bit of interaction on social media. If you have any thoughts or suggestions on things that you've done to help your own welfare as a coach, that'd be a great place to start as well. So we want to try and highlight this topic as best we can and not just dismiss it and say it doesn't exist, because it does exist. Coaching's hard. Like, everyone wants to do it, but coaching is bloody hard. It's difficult because you have to invest so much of yourself into so many other people. You end up dividing all of your time between your 10 athletes or however many athletes you're actually responsible for. What do you have left for yourself? And sometimes you're allowed to be selfish as a coach, and you can say no to things, but we'll get into that as we go. One of the biggest problems I find coaches have is sleep. And this is a little bit to do with their schedule. So what time were you on court this morning, Jenny?
Well, I was on court at 6:30, got there at 6:15, was up at 5:30 and got home last night from NPP at 10 p.m.
Yep. And Zoe, you not up early this morning?
No, but I was at home. I got home just after 11:30 last night
driving,
from Shep.
Yeah.
Yep. So as you can imagine, sleep as a coach is difficult. Now, it is a little different for both of you as you don't coach a team, so you're more in the individual player development space. But for a lot of coaches, a win and a loss on a Friday night can have a massive impact on their weekend. So when we start looking at coaches, potentially coach on the Friday night, so the VJBL level competition, NBL 1, Big V, the senior competitions that tend to take up a lot of your weekends, how do you actually get sleep as a coach? Because your games are potentially 6 o'clock onwards. So say we allow 2 hours for a game, you finish at about 8 o'clock, potentially 9, 10 o'clock for a lot of teams. Then you get home. How do you switch off?
I'll be 100% honest. I still don't have this right. I've been working on this for a long time and I'm better at it some days than others, especially when I was coaching in NBL 1 or CBL. That was really tough. Especially if you feel like you've been in some way shafted, or you know you've lost a game you probably shouldn't have, or even if it was a game that nothing went right, or everything was outside of your control. Basically, just shut myself off from everybody just for a little while. Now, what comes with that is then strain on relationships. So if you come home and you have a family or a partner or whatever it might be, and you want to just sit and you just want to be quiet and you just want to try and decompress and get away from it, especially if you don't have people that understand what it's like to coach or what it means to you as well, which can happen for people that have children who don't have the ability to do that. It can become tough and cause other issues. So I'm not sure that that's the right way to go, but that's what's worked for me in just giving myself a little bit of time. Again, I'm in a bit of a lucky situation having you at home, Rob, because you understand what I'm going through. We rant about it for a while and then we cut it off, and then that, you know, we have quiet time and then it's back to real life. The hard part is not allowing it to sneak back in when something triggers. You'll be watching TV and something will come on TV, and it'll be, I think we watched How I Met Your Mother once, and it was the Marshall Erickson episode when he was coaching the juniors at basketball and he's getting into the referee, and it's like, oh, well, that was like us on Saturday, and it brings you right back into it. So it's trying to separate that out of, no, I've had that time to have my little rant or be angry or be sad or be whatever it is, and then cut that right off.
And we had a little bit of an unwritten rule that we could talk about it on the car ride home,
yeah,
but once we hit home, done.
Yeah.
Like, it had to be done by that point, otherwise it would Friday become Saturday becomes Sunday, mm-hmm, becomes work on Monday, and you're still stressed about it. Jenny, is there anything you use as a player as well? Because you're probably a little different from the coaching side of things. Mm. You haven't necessarily tactically have to think your way through a game, but as a player, you have even higher levels. So yeah, you've run around for 40 minutes potentially at the time. How did you bring yourself back down and get back to a base level after a game?
I think it's good to make mention or aware to both parties that I think both struggle. And the way that athletes, I think, would normally deal with it is they go out, they have a good time, try and interact at a nightclub, drink, let's be honest, and ride themselves off, and then they can go to bed. That's how they deal with it. Or they'll go home and they remunerate. And I can guarantee you 90% of players will go home and relive every single play if they're at the elite level, and even if they're at kids level, in their heads. And it's the same with coaches. I'm sure, you know, of your career, Zoe, as you continue, like you remunerate in your own head. For me, I use a couple of points when it comes to switching off. One is that having that mentor or someone that you can trust in your inner circle, they're not as always going to fulfill what you want to hear, which is one thing that we're very good at doing. We gravitate to reinforce our own beliefs and behaviours. But to get someone that's going to be open, that you trust enough, that's open and constructively analyse where you're at. And that can be pragmatic. I think sometimes as a player or a coach, we can get caught up and wound up into creating a mountain out of a molehill. And if you have that person that can just pragmatically talk you through it with a rational kind of outlook, then it kind of allows you to decompress the situation. You go, okay, good. And then I used to, in my head, I'd go through different scenarios or situations that had occurred in games, or even when I coach now at Haileybury or had been Roval, I always think back, okay, what could I have done differently? What can I do better? Can I fix it now? If so, do it. And if I can't, then it waits until tomorrow. And then when in terms I go to bed, I always try and, one, read a book that is effortless and doesn't allow a lot of thinking time, or two, I just switch on Netflix for a bit and try and wind down. That's my way of trying to let go, I guess. But sometimes I think ultimately if you fight it too much too, it's going to be a battle.
Yep.
So sometimes there are going to be those nights where it is going to be, hey, I'm going to be sleepless, but I think that's a different topic. This is about letting go of, you know, the situation, and then we can talk about sleep next.
Absolutely. And you hit on something really important then. What can I fix now? Because a lot of times what you're thinking about cannot be controlled. You're not going to be able – you can't fix your on-ball defense at 3 a.m. it can't happen. So let it go now and then try and move on to what's actually important, because you can stress yourself out. The higher your anxiety is about, it's midnight, it's 1 o'clock, it's 1:30, it's 2 o'clock, why aren't I sleeping, can actually get in your head a lot more. So you've got to try and find a way to just let it go. Now, reading is a great way. I find reading puts me to sleep fairly quickly. Netflix, not so much. I get caught up in
something. And before you know it, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, binge watching.
You can get too invested in things as well. So you do need something that's a little bit dumb,
yep,
I find.
Correct.
That just
doesn't, it's almost like
you,
that David Attenborough kind of monotone voice, yeah, in the background that is engaging you but not enough, but also that white noise that, yep, can, yeah, put you to sleep. And I think you normally, as hard as it is, once you get to sleep and you wake up, 24 hours, 48 hours removed from something never seems as bad as what originally did 48 hours earlier. And then you can have a little bit more clarity and you remove that emotion rather than, you know, every coach is different the way they approach after a game. But, you know, my husband, Neil Mottram, who played for Lindsay Gaze, he said he was the best one in terms of never spoke to the players after the game. Good job. See you on Monday. And that was it. Because there was no point allowing emotion to get involved in it. And I like that kind of scenario as well.
One thing I do have to reiterate, the junk food alcohol method is not the best method to get a good night's sleep. I can vouch for this personally. And again, I spoke about it last week on the podcast. It was part of my Friday night routine is that coach a game, you catch up with another few coaches that have coached wherever over the course, grab a pizza afterwards, talk about the game, and then you go home. Now, that's fine to do occasionally, or that's fine if you can be out of there by 9:30, 10 o'clock. When that starts creeping into midnight, you can't expect to be asleep by one. It just doesn't happen by the time you get home again. And you feel pretty crap. Yeah. You know, like afterwards, you've just polished off a pizza or a couple of drinks, and it just unsettles you, I find. So that is not the answer.
No, a good one in terms of sleep, once you've got rid of the noise and that type of stuff in terms of switching off, a great podcast, Finding Mastery, and with the sleep doctor. 100% recommend it. A good hour of your time. Remove a bit of the selling that he has in what he's trying to achieve, but some of his basic principles and fundamentals about it's not the 8 hours. You know, we're not looking for that magic hit. It's not about that. It's about you and what's your routine. And we talk about routines with kids with their shot. It's the same when you sleep. What's your routine? If you're at 10 o'clock, but it's also what time do you get up and making that routine. Don't try to sleep in. Get up at the same time every morning and so on and so forth. And there's some really good tricks I took away from that podcast, that I wish I'd known 10 years ago. So I encourage everyone, Finding Mastery, Sleep Doctor, have a listen. Yep.
I'll grab the link for that and I'll put it in the show notes. So if anyone wants it. Also, Dr. Ian Dunican has jumped on our podcast previously and he did a great podcast about coaching and sleeping and the impact that has as well. It is a really difficult one to get right. But again, at least if you're aware of a few of these things, it might make it a little bit easier for you. Obviously, cooler rooms do help. Those kinds of things.
19 degrees.
19 degrees, like on point there.
It is, scientifically.
But again, if you can get yourself set up to a point where you can then fall asleep quicker, and it's quality over quantity, no question, but have a routine. Don't be the person that sits in bed and watches TV, because then that becomes not a bed where you go to sleep. That becomes just another medium to consume media. So try and avoid that where you can.
I think I've got a story. So where I struggle, I spoke about it last week on the podcast, letting the game and letting coaching consume you. I woke Rob up the other night, so I was still half asleep, and I woke him up to get him to remind me to talk to Coops about one-on-one in the session plan. I'm asleep, and that's what I'm waking him up to tell me to do. So that's telling that as soon as he told me that the next morning, that told me that I was too consumed by what I was doing at the time and needed to take some time to just take a breath and, you know, be a little bit more, not so much more about me, but a little bit less about basketball and spend some more time, you know, just going out and doing things or with my dog or with family or whatever it might be. I'm sure I'm not the only one who's had something like that.
It's hard, right? Like you hear this life balance, and I could argue it to the cows come home in terms of people like, yeah, I need more life balance. But part of me is like, if you're truly invested to be the greatest coach you can be, and perhaps for you that's to coach Australia, I don't know. But or if you're trying to be the best basketballer, you're all in. Like it's hard. Like, yes, you want to have a wheel, and there's certain points of that wheel that are going to be more emphasized than the other. But at the end of the day, you are all in, and that's in all parameters of your life. And unfortunately, sometimes some things will suffer, and that's where we want to try and get a balance. But from my – I will argue that a little bit. You know, they go, oh, life balance, you need equal of both. I'm like, I call bullshit a little bit. Sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to swear. But
that's right. We've been trying for like 4 seasons to get the little red E on our podcast. Like, sure, every third week it drops something. So we're closer.
Yeah, it's the same with a kid and an athlete, and they're all in. Everything they do centers around that. It's the same when you're a coach and you're passionate and it's what you want as a career. You're all in. So this life balance, I'm not sure if it ever really truly happens. I don't wake up thinking about training plans. When I'm going to sleep, I'm writing them in my head. But once I'm asleep, I'm asleep, babe. Yeah. So good luck with that one.
That was more a flag for me that I tipped over. And so okay, need to, once I shut the computer or once I leave the office or whatever it might be, unless it's an emergency, just try and, or urgent, try and switch off and be where I am rather than, you know, thinking about what have I got to do tomorrow, what session plans need to be done, what needs to be in it, we need to work on this with it, and it could just go all night. So so yeah, it was interesting, and it'd be interesting to know if any of our coaches have had similar things where they've been sort of a little too consumed with what they're doing, and it has affected sleep in those sort of ways, because it also affected your sleep.
It did. I woke up thinking, why is she thinking about Coops in her sleep?
Can you edit that out?
No.
No. Very close to sleep, though, is the nutrition side of things. And this is the most brutal one I find for a lot of coaches. It's sleep is really important. There's no question. But because of when we train and the times we train and how long our training sessions go through, nutrition is the easiest one to screw up for a coach. But I think it's one of the easier ones to get right too, with just a little bit of planning. So, again, 6.30 this morning. Did you have breakfast, Jenny?
Yeah, I had a piece of toast with avocado.
At what time?
At 10 to 6 as I was walking out the door.
So it's possible, is more the point.
Mm-hmm.
Not so great last
there
night, Zoe.
There is a reason I wasn't supposed to be on this podcast, and this would be it. I am terrible at this, and I'm not anyone that just takes one look at me can see that I am terrible at this. And I'm not saying that to try and be funny or, you know, have people feel sorry for me or anything like that. I am bad at this. It's the thing that I put last all the time, and I shouldn't, and I know I shouldn't, and I know what I should be doing. But it gets to, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock, and I'm driving home from somewhere and I haven't eaten since lunch. And again, that's on me. I should have been more prepared. And then what happens? The only thing that's open.
Oh, and yeah. Golden Archers.
That's right. That was Jenny, by the way.
I don't know what the Macca sound is.
But it's what happens, and I think it's common for our coaches. In the VJBL especially, you could be playing games at 9:40. I mean, we're talking about so far, we're talking about when we play, when we train, how invested we are in basketball. We haven't even touched on the fact that our coaches also work. So it's not
a lot
just
of coaches volunteer.
Yeah, that's right. It's not just a case of spend their whole day at home cooking up what they need to so they can be prepared and all that sort of stuff. A lot of them have full-time jobs, maybe children that they're coaching in their teams or whatever it might be. It's not easy. I should be better at it. I hope we all can get better at it. But I hope one thing coaches take away from this is that we know it's not easy, and we're not sitting here saying you should be doing this, you should be doing this, you should be doing this, as if we're sitting in an ivory tower. So we need to just I hope the coaches understand that there is understanding of how difficult it can be, but here are some ways to try and combat that so you don't put yourself in a position to end up being unhealthy.
Yeah. Here's some ways.
Excellent. Here we go. I like this.
So I'm more for, as I've, gravitated into the space of coaching, it astounds me and honestly saddens me that we work with long-term athlete development. So we see kids and we're role models and mentors, and it's monkey see, monkey do for a lot of kids. And we demand a lot of kids and we expect a lot of things and we ask them to do all this and that, and then we let ourselves go. And like you said, we invest into a lot of others, but we need to flip the narrative. So with nutrition, start small. Okay, you're not going to build Rome in a day. It's not about a quick hit, a magic pill. Unfortunately, for the people out there that think that, it's not there. Stop throwing your money down the tube. First thing is it's acknowledging it. Acknowledging that you actually need, not help, but finding a group of people that you can gravitate towards that are going to not push you in that direction, for one. And actually say, no. Mm. No, Zoe. Don't do it. Put it down. And then you go, shut up, Jenny. I'm going to eat it anyway. Which is our daily occurrence in the office, people listening. But start small. And I challenge you to cut out something in your diet once a month. So if caffeine's a huge one for coaches, and remember, caffeine comes in many forms, not just in coffee, but it's in Coke, it's in Red Bulls. And I will shoot any punch, I shouldn't say shoot, but any coach I see drinking Red Bull is just beyond me. Besides the fact that we're already in a stressful situation when we coach, and then you're putting things into your body that can just skyrocket you in terms of your heart. So please avoid that one. But start small. Caffeine to a minimum, no more than 3 a day. But it's not so much the coffee, it's what you have with it. So the milk. Mm. Most people are drinking a large coffee and they'll have a liter of milk a day before they've known and they realize. And it's all that mindless consumption of food. And you talk about being in the car. I encourage people not to eat in the car, because that's when you're bored and you're eating because you're just bored and you want stimulation. And I've done it, hands up. As soon as that 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock comes around and I might have a break to go home, first thing I do is I put my keys down the counter and I go straight to the cupboard. Out of habit. Everything we do is habit, and it's just about breaking those habits.
Also with coffee, if you require 3 or 4 sugars, you don't like coffee.
Yes.
Find something else.
Yeah, and that's part of the thing. You got milk and then you got the sugar as well. So it's the mindless eating and the mindless calories that we don't know we're consuming, and that comes in liquid form. So it's all those juices and the Cokes and the soft drinks.
Alcohol,
or it's more so the what we put with them, not so that much the spirit themselves.
Oh, so I can drink straight.
Yeah,
spirits.
Straight gin, straight vodka on the rocks, all fine. Calorie content is good. All in moderation though. But it's those little things. Like if you start there and you notice a change just from one thing a month, and then you add another thing to that, whatever your crutch is, just little things and start small. Because it's like anything. If you go, oh, I'm going to play for Australia and that's my goal, well, you don't just end up there. There's all building blocks. It's the same with, well, I want to be the best version of myself. I perhaps want to lose 20 kilos. Well, this is where I start. And that is preparing my meals, making sure perhaps if I'm not a breakfast person, and that's okay, you don't need to eat breakfast. But then after, I'm making sure that I'm consuming some form of good food. And the other thing is eat as close to real as possible. Like it. Real food, not in a package.
And the ground stuff.
Yep. Stick to the outside of the supermarkets, people. Every lane you get narrow to the inside is full of the processed food that we don't want to eat. And it's all marketing. It's the same when you go to a checkout. What do you see when you're waiting there for to get your food and pay for it? It's all the stuff that's on sale.
Yeah, Tufa.
Yeah, Tufa. Oh, winning, cheap.
I am the pin-up child.
Walk away, son.
Like supermarket psychological training works. Like I could get one for $4, but I can get 2 for $5.
That is so true too.
Come on, guys. Come on.
Better. But
these are the little things. Exactly. So little tips that, yep, you're like the version of most people. Yep. And I'm like, no, let's be better than that. And challenge yourself when you do, you know, you have those moments, it's late at night and you go past the Golden Arches or whatever it is, choose to maybe go to Red Rooster and have some chicken instead, or rather than having that processed burger or the chips that go with it. Also challenge yourself to go drive on past.
Yep.
You're not going to die. Our bodies are pretty good without going without food for long periods of time, but we're told we need to eat every 2 to 3 hours. No, we don't. We don't expend enough energy. So from my point, just drive past. And when you actually drive past and you get past that point where you think you're hungry, have some water, and then you actually have this self-worth of accomplishment, because you've gone, oh, I actually didn't give in that time. Oh, I can do this. And slowly, slowly, surely. Yep. Does it mean you'll be perfect? No, but hopefully it just slowly builds steps.
I've got a great idea for an app.
What?
We can get like a couple of recordings of you just like put telling people off for doing various things.
No, we need to change her on SatNavs and it's just Jenny's voice, and as you go past a Macca's or something, do not exit.
Well, it's funny. I obviously scare a few people, and one of them would be my brother, and every time he goes to consume, he goes, what would Jenny say? What would Jenny do?
That's a good thing. Hug his knees and rock back and forward.
No, but he actually is in a really good place. And,
no, that's
you
good.
Know, and, yeah, look, I want people to be the best version of themselves, and that's such a big critical part, because it plays into our next topic, which is going to come down to mental health, and nutrition is a fundamental part of that. We eat shit food. It affects our gut, which ultimately affects our psyche, which ultimately affects the kids that we're coaching, because we're more in a stress state. Everything we're talking about today is a wheel.
Yep.
Sleep, nutrition, exercise, mental health, habits or switching off, it's a wheel. Where do you rate yourself in every one of those categories, 1 to 5? Do it. Write it down. Do it. And then have a look in that web where 1 is worse and 5 is good. You might be great at sleep. but where's the one that you're dropping off on, and then focus more of your energy into that.
And it is, it's planning. Like, I'd love to say there's a real quick fix, and sometimes it might be you go past Coles or Safeway, and instead of going into the middle aisles where it's easy to grab like a bag of corn chips or something like that, you go and grab the celery.
Capsicum.
Yeah, Jess, you eat capsicum raw.
Like an apple.
Like, but those kinds of things. You can usually get a prepackaged, and I understand
that's
environment.
That's fine.
And
I'm more for you to do that.
Yeah, like the celery sticks, the carrots, it's a dip and things like that. That is usually enough to get you through. Mm-hmm. I've found, for me, the worst thing I could do was coach under 18s. Because that is a 9:40 game on a Friday night, so I would come home after work, grab something to eat then probably sleep for a couple of hours, then go coach the game. Then you've coached the game and it's 11 o'clock at night, but you're hungry again. So that
cycle
just...
you think you're hungry again.
Yeah, exactly. That cycle just continues to repeat, whereas under 12s, I was much better. It was go do an under 12s game straight from work, and then you're only getting the one meal in. So you could just be a little bit more diligent with it, but it is planning.
It is planning. And as coaches, we plan. We wake up in the middle of the night doing training plans. So my question is then, why are we not planning with our own nutrition? It's the same thing. The closer we remove the victim mentality or the excuse mentality, the better off we're going to be across the board.
So exercise is one of the hardest things to get right as a coach, because we spend so much time telling other people to run and cut harder and pivot and jump stop and those kinds of things. We actually forget that we need to be an active coach as well. And I see it a lot at training sessions. I'll walk in, watch a coach, and they don't move for the whole session. They'll stand in that one corner and direct traffic, or in that money spot underneath the basket and direct everything that's going on in front of them. They never actually move. That is actually a really easy way to get steps up as a coach. Mm-hmm. And everyone wears the trackable devices now. Like, everyone's got a Fitbit or an Apple Watch or whatever the case may be. For mine, that is a super easy way to keep track of how active you are during a training session, because that's a no-brainer. You can get around, you can walk around, you don't have to run necessarily, but as long as you're active and moving, that can start to contribute towards your exercise goal as well.
I think with exercise too, playing into sleep. So we spoke earlier about how do we get sleep, how do we switch off, those sort of things. Things like yoga and Pilates and walking and all that sort of stuff can help with that. Helps you just clear your head, helps calm you down, slow your heart rate, you know, deep breath, all that kind of stuff can really help. So it's almost like linking those two things together sometimes.
It's almost like it's a big wheel.
Almost like it is.
Wheel it is. Speaking of exercise, tips. Want some
tips?
Yeah,
always.
Do we have a sound effect?
I need a tips. Tips
like bidding?
Not really.
Get on with the show, Robbie.
No, that's all I got.
Okay. Oh, so it's just move on screen.
Yeah, right.
No. Right. You're okay.
Exercise for me, again, it's similar to nutrition. It's not about going for a one-hour run or a one-hour walk and trying to find that time. It doesn't exist in a coach's or most people's daily lives. What it is about incremental change. So in a car park, park the furthest away, more steps to get to where you need to go without even thinking about it. Take the stairs instead of the elevator is another simple one. Carry more stuff. When we talk about moving on the court, absolutely continue to move up and down. Every time the kids run up and down, you're walking up and down. And similarly, if you're fit enough, start to rebound for the kids. Get involved with them, yeah? Especially in the 14 to 18 category. I appreciate running up and down still purely because I now have an awareness of what they feel like, okay? The further away you remove yourself from actually getting your heart rate up, you don't appreciate how difficult it is. You might be asking your kids to do a task, and then when you do it, you go, oh, my goodness. Wow, I may be unfit, but this is actually a really tough task. No wonder they look like they're exhausted. So those little things I think are really important. And then again, it comes back to the monkey see, monkey do. If you're more active, and we've started to do this with NPP, and I'll share Ash and my story, but you know, he's been aware in terms of getting his body right and looking after himself. And I think it's really important that we're active as well. So before our sessions start on a Monday night with our kids, we now started running. It started off with 1 minute jog on, 1 minute walk. We did that for 20 minutes. Now we've built to 2 minutes on, 1 minute off, and now we'll build to three. And before you know it, we've done 5Ks before even on the court with the kids, and then we're already hitting the baseline of 10,000 steps a day. So I would challenge any coach out there to hit the 10,000 steps a day as a starting point by all those little changes, and then slowly once you make that shift, then get a little bit better.
And before training is a great time to do that. It's very rare that we roll in for a 6 o'clock training at 6 o'clock. in particular those people that work full-time jobs, they might finish work at 5, get there at 5:30 for a 6 o'clock training session. There's half an hour of dead time you can use.
100%.
Like, rather than just walk in and sit there and wait for the session to go,
yeah,
go do something with it. So you do have to schedule this in, though. It's not a case of, oh, I'll just go and do this.
Because that's when you never do it, right?
Exactly,
it's like
right.
goal setting.
I'm absolutely the worst at it. Like, if it's not in my diary, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
Like, I miss meetings. Coops has missed the podcast. Yeah. Like, all those kinds of things. So you do have to make sure you – hey, Coops, I hope you're listening. But you do have to schedule this in. If you don't make time for it, it'll never get done.
And don't do it alone. Because if you do it alone, you'll always listen to that negative person in your head and go, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow. Try and get yourself a little clan or your own coaching group that you have responsibility to the person to turn up that 20 minutes before, and you do it together. So when you're not motivated one day, and let's go, we all know that it ebbs and flows, that you're disciplined enough because you're in a team sport and you have to rely on, someone's got to rely on you. So do it together as a collective, I think, is really important.
Mental health. This is a really broad topic. It's coaching is fantastic. And if you gave anyone the opportunity to be a professional and full-time coach, they'd probably take it. You see the good, but you probably don't see the bad with a lot of people. You don't see the, we talk about ebbs and flows, but you don't see that emotional roller coaster that a lot of coaches go through when they start coaching. Stress, anxiety, depression are all really big issues for coaches. We had it last season before, I can't remember exactly which one. Kevin Love came out with depression and anxiety issues. And was probably one of the first athletes to come out and say it. Liz Cambage came out with a DNP mental health recently as well. So we speak about it a lot more in the playing sense, because as coaches, again, we are carers by nature. We are trying to care for our players, but we need to care for ourselves at the same time. Ty Lue missed games last year with mental health. Like, and that's a head coach of an NBA franchise, missed time. It's actually really refreshing to see it. We don't want to hide this. And probably, I think for mine, the best thing you can do is talk about it. Don't try and bottle everything up, because as a coach, your health really matters with that. And the physical, we've spoken about, obviously, the nutrition and the sleep. But the mental side of things, if your head's not right, you're not going to be the best version of you. How do we get our mental health under control as a coach?
Mental health for me is really underpinned a lot by the aforementioned that we've spoken about, sleep, nutrition, exercise. If you're deprived of sleep, then you're automatically going to be in a more anxious state. Cortisol is going to be higher in terms of stress hormones. If you're not eating a nutritional balanced diet, like we said before, gut health, that plays into depressive states. Certain foods can trigger certain responses in your mental health. And then exercise obviously is another fundamental of that. I think you knocked it on the head in terms of talk about it. I think it's always been there. I just think it's brought to the forefront more now because of social media and the awareness through media itself on many platforms. And I think it's getting a network around you where you feel comfortable to talk about, and removing this stigma of this stoic bloody perception that we have to be stoic. What is that? Oh, I have to be stoic. Do you actually understand what that means? You know, yes, you can be brave and courageous, but the other flip coin of that is being brave and courageous is stepping up and asking for help, and putting a hand up and going, I'm human, I can't do this all on my own, which is really important. And there's a lot of good books out there that can help you along with that. There's a lot of good helplines. Headspace, Beyond Blue are really good as well, because there may be those moments that you need just someone to reaffirm your position, I think, with mental health. And I also encourage coaches to switch the narrative. It's very easy for us to, in the world that we live in, we always think the grass is greener on the other side through what we see and we read. I ask you to try and read feel-good stories and or see in your life what is good. The Dalai Lama, I love them, Buddhism and stuff, like just the ability to turn on a light is actually amazing. Some people don't even have that, and yet we take it for granted. As stupid as that sounds, but it's those little things, because we always think of what we don't have rather than what we do have. And I think that contributes a lot to our mental health as well, except also for the expectation and pressure intrinsically and extrinsically as a coach, which I probably you can allude to more, Zoe.
Yeah, well, I have another story. Strap yourselves in.
I need a sound effect.
You need to say that you're about to tell a story.
Ash has his own song. Zoe's got the storytelling little chime. I'll just have a bleep for every time I swear.
My first year of coaching a senior level, I had a fairly tumultuous run into the season in terms of I had two of our, I guess, highest recruits walk out the door the week of our first game. And we were rolling into a pretty big doubleheader against two teams that had made the final the year before without really any WNBL experience or anything like that. So with a bunch of babies who I cannot speak highly enough of. But that was a really, really tough lead-in to what should have been a really exciting time. We get to game two of that weekend. We're down. Kids are fighting. They're doing everything they can. It was great. I felt like our kids were being a little hard done by. Ended up landing a tech, which I will happily say I deserved. And then landed a tech through a miscommunication of a ref thinking I said, good job, ref, when I yelled out, good job, red, because we'd come up with the ball. So was therefore ejected from the game. My first and only ejection. So I'm standing out there watching these kids fight against some horrible circumstances that were outside of their control. I didn't have an assistant coach. So thankfully, Michelle jumped in and was able to help, which was great. Then we got in the car. Rob was there watching. I think it was took him all of 0.2 of a second to say, give me the keys, I'm driving.
Read the situation well, Jenny.
You're just a good bloke, aren't you?
We got home. But here's the thing, right? This is the interesting part about it. We got home. I'm so upset. I write out an email just like in my notes on my phone that I'm just going to sit on, so just to try and get everything out that had really upset me. And then decided for some stupid reason, oh, I'm going to do a little bit of work. So open my computer and my computer won't turn on. Try it again. Won't turn on. Try it again. It wasn't dead or anything in terms of the battery, and it wouldn't turn on. And that sparked basically a panic attack in me. I couldn't breathe. I felt like someone was sitting on my chest. I was embarrassed when Rob said, no, screw this, I'm calling an ambulance. I was really embarrassed and unfairly a little bit angry at Rob for doing that because of those things you spoke about. We're supposed to be tough. We're supposed to be brave. We're supposed to be doing this. And here I am falling to water simply over a computer not starting. I haven't been diagnosed with any anxiety or depression or anything like that. This was simply a one-off. But that's how it can affect your life. You care about it so much. Something goes wrong, which rolls into something else that goes wrong, which rolls into something else. And then the tiniest little thing can really set you off. And in the beginning, I didn't want to tell anybody. I wasn't interested in anybody knowing because I didn't want to appear weak. And then I thought, no, I cannot be alone in this. This can't be something that's just happened to me. So I started speaking to some people, and especially people that I could see were maybe struggling or coming up with against some roadblocks or some barriers or finding some stuff hard. And it's unfortunately really common in coaching. Probably in life, but definitely in coaching. And there are so many different factors. So what I learned from that experience is you have to talk about it. There are people here and there are more people here that, one, are understanding and, two, that want to help than I ever thought possible. As well as that was one of the times I sort of realized, what are you doing to yourself? Like, why am I putting so much? Yeah, what's the worst that can happen? You have a losing season and you get sacked. Well, that's awful, but I still get to live my life with great family, great friends, you know, in a great space. So trying to just, you know, still do the best I could at what I was doing, but take away the fact that this was the be-all and end-all.
Did you tell your team that you had a panic attack?
Eventually.
Yeah, see, I think that's the best thing that you could have done.
Yeah.
And any of these situations that arise, if you have that opportunity to share it with your team, I think it does two things. One, it makes them see you differently rather than this almost authoritarian, I'm above you, you tell me what to do kind of scenario. And I think it also makes them realize you're human.
Yeah.
And vulnerability, I think, is one of the most, for me anyway, in my coaching, is the most important thing.
Yeah.
If I can be vulnerable and show that it's okay to share a story, and everyone's very well aware of my journey and my story to try and become a mum, and I share it with all my kids because I think it's important they realise real life, because this is not all about sunshines and roses. As much as we are trying to sometimes with kids in the long-term athlete development pathway, you know, protecting them, fixing all their problems, it's not. And the more that you get to share those moments with your kids or your, at the time, young women, I think it's important, because then they go, oh, she's human. Oh, she has what I have. Oh, we're not weird or strange or
alone.
Yeah, alone. Mm. A huge one, right? And I think that's the most powerful thing you can do is share that. So
what was interesting was when I did tell them, one of the responses were, I can't believe you care that much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and part of me, I wanted to say, you've got to be kidding me. Like, but then another part was,
that was a turning
point,
right?
It was a turning point for us.
For you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we were the underdogs for the whole year, and we knocked off some teams we shouldn't have, and we pushed teams that we shouldn't have. And I don't think it was all because of that, but it certainly helped our relationship as a group.
But it shifted the paradigm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Tons of great resources out there in this. There's a great article by Urban Meyer, I'm Not the Lone Wolf. Google it.
Yeah, great one.
It's, say what you will about Urban Meyer, there's a little bit of controversy that follows him everywhere, unfortunately, but he has a great article just surrounding what he went through as a coach, the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows of living a family life whilst trying to coach and not being so consumed by everything that goes on. Resilience Project book, which got put onto me by Don Lanossier,
yeah,
which
brilliant.
Is a phenomenal book. I'd strongly recommend anyone go and have a read of that. And they talk about the big three for them: gratitude, empathy, and mindfulness. Mm. So, again, there are tons of resources out there that can use. Just tap into them. Like, we had Dr. Grant Blaschke from Beyond Blue on here previously, who just spoke. Just go see your GP, and they can put you on a mental health plan, which sounds horrible. And I get it. Like, you hear that, and you think, "What's wrong with me?" Straight away, and it's not the case. It's just a case of, actually, we can just put you in touch with someone you can go talk to about this.
Yeah,
who can just help.
And cut out the noise.
Yep.
So I'm not saying don't be on social media, but choose what you're channeling into. Yep. So if you're looking at superficial things on social media of how you should be and how you should look, well, I'm not sure that's helping your mental health. Go towards the gratitude ones, the empathy ones. Follow people that have a great outlook on life. The same on Twitter. What are you looking at? Is it all basketball? Do you need to be consumed by all the basketball stuff? You know, I think that's really important. Can we get another space that isn't just basketball to get a little bit of clarity? And just like athletes, when we say you are not defined by your sport, it's the same for coaches. You are not defined by your sport. And as much as you are hired and fired on your win-loss record, which is really sad, hopefully most coaches can step beyond that eventually and find that space where this goes beyond that.
Absolutely. And that leads into, we're switching off.
Yeah.
You need to be able to switch off as a coach. Not every second of your day needs to be consumed with, how do I get better as a coach? I appreciate the irony of this, because I hope everyone's listening to this podcast as they're driving around everywhere to get better as a coach. I get that.
But this is how you get better of a coach, right?
Yep.
Looking after you.
Correct.
Because if you ultimately look after you in maybe one or two of these things we're spoken about, you ultimately are in a better headspace to be a better coach.
No question. And there are times, and don't get me wrong, I'm a big podcast listener, as most coaches are. Like, we do so much driving, you kind of have to by default. There are times I have no interest in listening to someone talk. I just want to listen to music.
Yeah.
And
that's okay too.
That. Yeah. Like, you'll pull up next to me at the lights and it's like
you
that.
You listen
ad.
To Britney Spears.
Call me maybe.
Call me maybe. Carly Rae Jepsen. Like, that is my car. Like, it bounces. It's got, you know, the low rider, you know, the flames on the wheels, those kinds of things. That's my car. But you do need to find a way to switch off. It is hard to do, but you need a release outside of your sport. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for Jenny, I suppose that's probably a little different for you. Like, you've got a release outside basketball, which is footy, which is probably a completely different space altogether. Like, it's still sport, but it's just different.
Yeah, it is different. Different mindsets, and I'm dealing, obviously, with men in the VFL. But they all come with the same issues. It's just a different sport. And the big thing I try and talk about in terms of switching off or with all this space and with a lot of kids I try and teach is the ABCs and the Ds. And for me, it's looking at affirmation is one. Affirmation yourself. I am, who am I? I am this person. I am enough. I am strong. I am capable, and reaffirming that every day. And then in terms of B's and C's, it's B is breathing. I think sometimes when we caught up in emotion, if we just took five breaths and just inhaled, exhaled, and then decided to respond, we'd be in a lot better space. With C and D, C is the controllables. Can I control it? Yes or no? And then follow a flow chart. And then D is dance. You talk about singing in the car or perhaps living in a podcast. I love putting on some great music and just dancing like nobody's watching. And am I good? No, I am horrendous.
A little bit of Hugh Grant love, actually.
But it just, I get lost in it. And I think that's the important part. Those four things I've always done or I've tried to do as a player, do they always work? No. But I try and share that. And the S at the end is sharing. Sharing the story like Zoe did just before, and you realise you're not an anomaly, you're actually quite normal.
The hardest part, I think, for junior coaches to have that mindset is in a parent confrontation. It's really hard because you're working hard, you're trying to do what you can for these athletes, as Jenny said before, you're all in, and then a parent, rightly or wrongly, will come and have a problem with it or want to meet with you or basically just second guesses what you're doing, and that can be a real shot to the heart. Like, I'm working so hard here, I'm caring about these kids, and you're still coming at me. And there are some times where parents have every right in terms of coach behaviour isn't always the way it should be. And then there are some times where the parents are out of line and they simply just want to have a yell at someone or something and get it out because they're unhappy, and then who does that fall on? The coach. And that is where it's really hard. That's where someone like me, as an emotional eater, I will go straight to the fridge or straight to the pantry and eat and drink until I feel better. And as you can see, you don't feel better. Like, it is, you don't feel full because you're not eating because you're hungry. You are eating to try and
distract you
and find some comfort. And that's a really dangerous road to go down. So I think when you are in that situation with a parent, confrontational or not, try and lock in on what Jenny just said then. You know, take in what they're saying, maybe discard the way they're saying it.
Yeah.
Try and action. Again, try and see it from their point of view as best as you can. Try and action it and then lock in on what Jenny was just saying with the ABCDs. Like, get away from letting it sit inside your head and run around in your head, and what I should have said was this and next time I'll say that. Just let that go. Take your deep breaths and move on with life.
Turning off technology is a big thing.
Yeah.
Like, we can all be consumed by social media, obviously. Lono ironically threw this out on Twitter during the week. Turn off the technology for a while. Almost everything will work again if you unplug for a few minutes, including yourself. And I think that's it's absolutely accurate. You don't need to be on that all the time. I know where I used to work prior to Basketball Victoria, they had a rule. You could only check your emails twice a day, morning, afternoon, that's it. Wow. Nothing else in between. Don't tell Ash that.
Wow.
Like, do not tell Ash that. And, like, this will cause us a range of problems.
Well, he probably still sticks to that rule, probably less
maybe
a little
one
bit.
A day. if you're hearing this, Dom, he probably still hasn't replied to your tweet yet, but that's okay. But you can switch off. You don't have to be connected all the time. And as coaches, we're allowed to say no. Like, it's great that we want to invest, and sometimes you feel like, I've got a spare weekend, let's go get individual workouts in with my team and we'll go and put some extra work in. If you can, great. But sometimes you just want to say no.
Yep.
And it's fine to say no. There's nothing wrong with that. You need time for you as well.
And you'll still be liked, and that will still be okay, and the sun will come up tomorrow and the milkman will deliver the milk Not that but that don't really have it in your coffee anymore. Yeah, yeah. Don't. Yes. No. Do not. Long blacks, people. Long blacks. But with social media, a good one is I don't have notifications. So unless I'm actually in the app and I choose to be in the app, I don't have a ding coming up on my phone. Mm. And I think that's where we get caught. They are designed to suck you in. You know, I spoke to some kids the other day. Children between 14 and 18 spend over 500 minutes a week on their phone. 500 minutes. Now, we talk about athletes and wanting to be better at sport. Could you imagine what they were doing with those 500 minutes to be a better basketballer? And I think that could be said for coaches, adults in general, anyone listening to this. We also, statistics show us, in an hour we will touch our phone upwards of 20 times. Because we gravitate to wanting the now and the fix, and we need this to feel good. So I would recommend shutting off notifications to your whatever apps you have, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and only choose to go in there when it's on your time and when you want to give up that time.
Could not endorse that more. I think that's a really key one. It's and everyone has work emails and things like that, and I was lucky in my previous job. I couldn't get emails on my phone. Yeah. It was glorious.
You will respond.
Yeah, no question.
And we won't be Ash. Yeah. He does respond. I love you, Ash. But
at least he turns up.
Yeah. Yes. Nathan Cooper Brown. As he sits home and he's tapping his fingers away, probably. Yes. Mr. Burns. But it also – where was I going with this, guys? I've now gone off topic.
You will respond.
Yes, you will respond. But if you give them a response – the second after they send the email, the expectation is that will happen every single time. So that moment you don't, that's when they get annoyed and, well, why haven't you responded? So if you give it time also, and I'm one bad for emails, I'm on them straight away. I know Zoe is as well. She'll respond straight away. And that's probably something I need to get better in, is just giving it 24 hours is probably the most important one. But, yeah, more time.
No question. The last one, your network. Mm. Get yourself a coaching network. Have people around you that you can lean on, that you can talk to. And we've discussed this a little bit at last week's show and also today. But you need to have people around you. They don't necessarily have to be basketball people.
I would say don't be basketball people. Yep. Because with basketball – and obviously you guys have rules in your household, but – the less basketball people you have, the less influence you have to talk about the thing that you're trying to get away from. Yeah. So if you have someone totally removed that doesn't care, then all for it, you know. Yep. Talk about the Amazing Race or maths or I don't know,
don't
something.
Do that.
Well, I don't. I'm Netflix, so I'm not even normal TV. But, yeah, just get people in your life that are removed from basketball.
Yep, no question.
They don't see you as a basketballer or a coach. And I think also have honest people in your network.
Yep. Be prepared to pick up the phone though.
Yeah.
Like, don't be that person that sits there and waits for everyone to contact them, because eventually they become a
I assumed you would, you know.
I'm terrible.
Yeah.
Like, it's something I'm honestly I am
I think
really
men
bad at.
Are really yeah. with no stereotyping no, here. I think men are the worst at lacking in connection and network and staying in contact with their mates.
Yep.
And yeah, they'll get together every 6 months and you're like, oh, it's like we've never been apart. But I think it's that checking in. Absolutely. I have some mentors in my life. It's just like, hey, just welfare check. How are we? How are you going?
Absolutely.
And it could be 5 minutes or it could be 30 minutes. And I think they're the really important conversations, whether it's by text first, and you know in a text you go, something's up here, and then you pick up the phone.
Absolutely.
What I would say with those networks, don't always be contacting them when you're driving home from a game.
Yeah.
Because all you're going to do is talk about the game and eventually they'll go, I'm jack of this. So, but with the amount of driving we do, it is a great time to connect in as well. If you're somebody that works full time, you coach and then you have a family and all those sort of stuff, time in the car can be used to connect with people, just as long as you're doing it the right way.
Absolutely. Hopefully that's us done. Hopefully that is.
Do you have anything else?
Oh, have you got more?
No. No. I was thinking. Oh, hopefully everyone's drinking some water, and if they were drinking Coke or soft drink, they've tipped it out down the sink or out the car door.
Right.
No, no,
yeah.
No.
I don't have
yes.
anything here.
Yeah. What would Jenny do?
Yeah. Yes.
WWJD.
It's not Jesus. It's Jenny.
Oh, I did. What would Jenny say?
Even better. Because I will say what I think.
The podcast is now Jump the Shark because Jenny's compared herself to Jesus. we're done. Like, we can never
I'm
come back
I'm not getting
from this
into a religious debate with you anyway.
We can never get back. But hopefully this has been something where coaches that are out there that do listen to this, take some things away from it and please try and action as many things that are relative to you. Obviously, we don't want 100 little Jennies running around and trying to be exactly what Jenny is, but just try and be yourself, but try and take some things from everyone, things that Zoe said, things that I said, things that Jenny said, and just try and put them in to help make your life better.
And you said the word action. Action. Yep. Stop thinking and just do.
Correct.
Small steps.
So similar to last week where we asked you guys to interact on the socials with what you wish you knew when you started coaching, get in touch with this one and just give us some things that you do in your coaching life or even just your life in general that help you make you a better person. Use the hashtag Talking Split if it's on Twitter. Jump in the comments on the Facebook post when these goes up as well. But it'd be great to see other coaches interacting with each other and just trying to find a way to share a little bit more knowledge, because I think it'd be a really valuable thing, because what we think is great, but we are three people in what is over 1,000 people every week that listen to the podcast.
Yep.
So there are tons more things out there that we don't think about that probably everyone else does. So where you can, please reach out on those platforms and, you know, tag us in. No problem. Jenny won't see it straight away. She'll see it when she logs in.
That's why I'm always 2 or 3 days late to the party when you guys are tweeting stuff. I'm like, oh, better. Retweet.
Exactly. So, again, you can get Jenny with her Twitter handle on.
At Jenny Screen.
And Zoe on.
At ZoeCar85.
Very good. And I'm at Rob Coulter. If you need me as well, use the hashtag Talking Split on Twitter where you can, again, please like, share, rate, review, subscribe and leave great ratings where you can, because we try and get this out to as many people as we possibly can. I think we, what do we do? Like for every person that retweets the podcast, like Ash will do a 10K run or something like that?
Well, no, I wouldn't say 10. Let's start off with 5.
5?
Yeah, 5K run. No, for everyone that retweets, that's a really good one.
It's not a bad one, is it?
Maybe a one-on-one conversation with one of the coaches that they want to talk something about.
Not bad. Mm.
I don't mind that.
Don't mind that. We'll come up with something and we'll put it in the show notes for you. So you can grab that when you need to. Thanks everyone for jumping in. Do appreciate your time as always, and good luck with your coaching, and thanks for talking Split with us.